time now for the reading of the Scripture, and we invite you, please, to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians chapter 3. In your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1252, page 1252. We'll be reading verses 13 through 21. These verses we'll read responsively, and you'll take notice, please, of the 19th verse, the text verse for this morning's message. May we stand, please, now for the reading of this passage. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with all might in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And let's finish together, please. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And let's pray. And Father, we're here once again, another service, another Sunday. We're thankful for our church, our preacher, and we thank thee for that which you've prepared for us. We know that whatever it is, we need it. And we pray that you'd help us to approach the whole matter with the recognition that we do need what you have given our preacher to give to us. Open our hearts, our minds, and bless with power the preaching and the preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we do not come lightly to stand behind this place, not sacred because of where it is, but sacred because of what's happened here. This morning we're here as thy children. We need strength, encouragement, help. May it be available to us today. Encourage our hearts in the love of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that if you've attended this church as much as a month, that you know that my favorite subject is the love of God. I do not know of anything about which I had rather preach than the love of God. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill? And were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, or could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky? Occasionally, I travail to preach on the love of God. Today is one of those days. This is not this morning a sermon delivered by a pastor to a congregation. This is not a message to fulfill a duty, an obligation, or responsibility, because it's my job to speak at this place at this time. This morning you will not hear a preacher preach. You will hear and see a Christian rejoice that God loves him while other Christians look on. I wonder how many times I've made this statement in these over 26 years. I don't know of any greater truth than that God loves me. And I don't know any better news to tell you today than that God loves you. My overflow this morning begins at the fountain of our text. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Did you get that? That seems like a paradox. To know the love of Christ, which cannot be known. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now I want you to notice this. Let's paraphrase it. To be knowing that which shall never be completely known. We're commanded by God to investigate and examine and study the love of Christ in order that we may know the unknowable, comprehend the incomprehensible, understand that which is not understandable. God says to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now I want you to notice this. It does not say the love of Christ, which passeth earthly knowledge. It does not say to know the love of Christ, which passeth human knowledge. It says to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. This means that we should spend life learning about the love of God. This means all, but we'll never know it completely. It also means that we will spend eternity trying to comprehend the love of God. And though we will learn some today about the love of God, there will yet be more to learn tomorrow. And we shall learn tomorrow some more about the love of God. But there shall be yet more to learn day after tomorrow. And we shall learn more about the love of God this week than we knew last week. But there shall be yet next week more about the love of God we can explore and learn. And when we've been there 10,000 years, as John Newton wrote, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to learn God's praise than when we first begun. And after we've been in heaven for 100 million years, we will still not totally know the love of God. But we will still be learning the love of God. That's what God says here. And that's what's so wonderful. It's a book you never complete. It's a search you never end. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Just cuddle up this morning and wallow in the love of God. And learn all you can about how much God loves you. And there'll be more tomorrow. And then learn all you can tomorrow. There'll be more the next day. Learn all you can while you're on earth. There'll be more in eternity. And the day will never come, even in heaven, when we will have exhausted all the knowledge of the love of God. What a tremendous prospect we have. So I will spend life and eternity trying to learn the unlearnable, trying to comprehend the incomprehensible, trying to know the unknowable, trying to explore the unexplorable, trying to find the unfindable. You know, I was amazed a few years ago when I spoke 2 years ago this last June. I brought a message on the love of God. I just felt like I should, like I wanted to this morning. I had other sermons. In fact, I have probably 15, 20 sermons that I'm preparing right now. And sometimes I study on a sermon so much, when I get up here and preach it, I wonder if I preached it before, because I've studied on it so long. But I had other things I was going to preach this morning and decided that I ought to just wallow around. What could we do better the first day of after college starts? And the first day, you might say, the autumn starts. But just get together and take a good old sun bath in the love of God. And just wallow in the fact that God loves us. And I preached a sermon on the love of God. And yet I felt like like you feel when you just got to eating a meal and you want to eat some more. And so I preached the next Sunday on the love of God. And that was going to be the last one. But I felt dissatisfied, not yet completed. And I preached the next Sunday morning on the love of God. And the next Sunday morning on the love of God. And the next Sunday morning on the love of God. Until I preached 15 consecutive sermons on the love of God. And I mean this with all my soul. I honestly believe that I could preach every Sunday morning on the love of God and never cease to bring something new and fresh about the love of God. For example, our text this morning, to know that which passeth knowledge. You'll never learn
about all the love of God. There's always...
You'll never drink it dry. It'll never run dry. It'll always be something. When you take one bite, God gives another. You learn one truth, new truth, God gives another. And to think that the love of God, it's broader than the ocean, it's longer than time, it's higher than heaven, it's deeper than hell, it's wider than space, and it can never be fully known. Firstly, we'll never know its cause. I do not know why God loves me.
Nor can I stand this morning and tell you why He loves you. I can tell you He loves you. I can tell you, young college student away from home for the first time, and you're homesick, and you're hot, and miserable, and you wonder how things are at your home church this morning, and you sit here this morning, and your mind's been wandering back to your own home church and your own preacher. I cannot tell you why God loves you, but I can tell you that God loves you. I cannot tell you, dear pathfinders this morning, sometimes maybe wishing that you could be exactly like some of the rest of us, and why you families of the pathfinders, I cannot tell you why God loves you, but I can tell you that God loves you. I can't tell you, mission men this morning, why God loves you, but I can tell you that God loves you. I can tell you, bus kid and bus rider, that God loves you. I cannot tell you why God loves you, and we shall spend eternity trying to learn. We'll learn more about why God loves us, and turn this down just a tad, please, and more why God loves us, and more why God loves us, and more why God loves us, but you'll never understand the depth of the purpose of the love of God. God loves that which is holy, that's understandable. If I were holy, that God, why God would love me, but I'm not holy. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. The other night I was in a motel room, and I was so tired, and I was so weary, and I knelt to pray as I do before I go to bed. I knelt beside the bed, and I started to pray. And I woke up 30 minutes later, asleep there beside the bed. And I got up off my knees, and I said, God, you deserve more than this. You deserve more than this. You deserve somebody that doesn't go to sleep while he prays. And yet, God loves me anyway. I finished preaching a few weeks ago, and I tell you, I laid an egg big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs from. I tell you, I don't think I ever preached a worse sermon in my life. And one of Spurgeon's better ones, too. But I couldn't understand it. And I went back to my room, and I picked up something, and I threw it at myself. I didn't break the mirror. I picked up something soft. And I threw it at the mirror at myself, and I said, Dear God, why don't you call a preacher? Why don't you call somebody who can preach? I'm saying, God does love that which is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy. The Bible says God loves that which is holy. But, hallelujah, God loves that which is unholy. God loves the one this morning steeped in the deepest sin. God loves the one who's gone down the farthest. And God loves the one whose sin is most stained. And God's love reaches farther out from the way you have gone and deeper to where you've gone. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. I cannot tell you why God loves you. I shall spend eternity learning it. But I'll never know totally why God loves me. My mother's there this morning, and she doesn't know yet why God loves her. She knows more than she knew when she left here. But she's still learning why God loves her. Dear Dr. John Rice is there this morning. And he does not know yet why God loves him, but he knows more why God loves him. And in just a few days, we'll all be there. I remember Dr. Rice used to pray, Oh God, oh God, I'd love to see you. Jesus, I'd love to see your face. Oh God. I often think he's been looking on his face now for 7 years. And soon I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. I do not know why God loves me. I don't know. But I know He does. And I shall spend all of my life trying to understand it. I can't comprehend it. But in eternity, the Bible said, we can know the unknowable. We're supposed to know what we'll never know. And every time that the
river of life sparkles beneath the Son of God, who's the light of the city. And every time the dew of heaven sparkles beneath the light of the city is Jesus, the light of the world passes by. And every time the golden streets sparkle beneath the glaring light of His presence, every time we'll learn a little more about why He loved us, but we'll never know why He loved us. That's one thing I think is wonderful about heaven. We've got so much to learn yet. We've got so much to know yet. And we'll be able to study why He loves us and someday know. He could have loved me because I loved Him, but I didn't love Him. I'm sorry I didn't, but I didn't. But He loved me, but I didn't love Him. That one this morning, who's here, who's bitter against God, He loves you. That one this morning who doubts that He even exists, He loves you. I say He loves you. I don't know why. I cannot know the unknowable. I'm supposed to learn more and more, but I'll never know. He loves that. He could have loved me because I was holy, but I was not holy. He could have loved me because I loved Him, but I did not love Him. He could have loved me because I was His child, but I was not His child by birth and by nature. I was a child of Adam, a son of Adam by nature. He did not love me because I was His child. You say, preacher, why would God love me? I don't know why God loves you. I don't know. But brother, listen, that makes it more wonderful. If I can't figure out why, that makes it more wonderful. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Awake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Many of you have heard me tell this. My second favorite song, I guess, is I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. And I just go around singing all the time. That's wonderful. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. That's it. Dr. Evans said that's it. I was singing that song. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. And one morning early, I was in the airport in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was walking down the airport singing. That's one reason why I sit by myself on airplanes. I sing a lot. And people get up and move. But I was singing, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Sing it, wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And I got on the airplane. I thought I better quit singing. I started humming it. Took me years to develop this voice. And I got on the airplane and I sat down. And the only person in the no-smoking section was I was the only person sitting in the no-smoking section. There were 20, 25 folks back in the smoking section. They're on a tour. But I was the only person. Big old jet plane, 65 seats in the no-smoking section. If you don't think it's a big job to do all the no-smoking by yourself in a big jet plane, you just try it sometime. And there I was having to do the work of 65 people. And I was humming. And little stewardess walked by. It must have been 6 o'clock in the morning. And little stewardess walked by. And she said, "You sound like you're happy." And I said, "You probably have the happiest person on this plane you ever had. It's your lucky day." And I kept on humming. And she came by again, and she said, "What kind of music is that you're singing?" And I said, "It's rock and roll." And she said, "Rock and roll?" She said, "Sing me some of that rock." I said, "Rock of Ages, play for me." She said, "Sing me some of the roll." I said, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And she laughed, and she laughed, and she laughed. And I said, "Sit down here, I'll teach you that song." She sat down, and I told her, "I am so glad that my Father in heaven." And then she said, "I got to go." Well, I said, "Wait a minute." So I got up and stopped her, and in the aisle, I got my Bible out, and I told her about Jesus. And there in front of all those smokers back there, and would-be drinkers, but she got saved and forgot to serve them in liquor. And she bowed her head and prayed the sinner's prayer and came to Christ.
And she sat down, and the rest of the flight, well, if they'd known it, they'd have fired her. The rest of the flight, I took the Bible and talked the Bible to her, and I taught her how I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. And we sang it and sang it and sang it and sang it. Why? All because a Baptist preacher, 6 o'clock one morning, was enraptured with the love of God. I wish I could tell you why He loved me. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. But He does. How deep does He go? Deeper than the deepest sinner. How far does He go? Farther than the farthest backslider. He loves you. He loves you. Listen, He loves you. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful man. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And the Bible says to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. I do not know and never will know why He loves me. But there's something else I don't know. I don't know the beginning of His love either. How long has He loved me? I could trace it back 2,000 years and show you a cross. I could show you a dying Savior on that cross. I could show you nails in His hands and scars in His feet. And I can guarantee you He's loved me for 2,000 years. Yeah, He loved me before that. I can take you back 6,000 years when He first placed the first twinkle in the first eye of Adam for Eve and Eve for Adam. I could take you back 6,000 years ago when He made the first rose and said, Adam, enjoy. I can take you back 6,000 years ago when He made the first gardenia and sprayed it toward Adam and Eve and said, enjoy its fragrance. I can take you back 6,000 years when He put the stars in the sky and said to man, look up and enjoy them by night. I can take you back 6,000 years when He made the sunrise and the sunset and said, that's for you to enjoy as the topaz tint and the azure blue and the emerald green all mingle to perform one great canvas of the glory of God and tell you He loved you 6,000 years ago. I know He loved me 6,000 years ago, but His love goes back beyond that. I can trace it back into the ages when He called from the womb of night the newborn day and loved me. He loved me before then. I don't know when He began loving me. My mama used to say to me, son, I loved you before you were born. Son, she said, I read all the time I was pregnant. You know, preachers are born just like everybody else. You know, we came the same route you did. And mama used to, well, I like smothered in there. But mama used to say to me, she said, son, I used to read all the time while I was carrying you. She said, you know why? I said, why? She said, son, she said, I heard an old wives' tale that if you'd read an awful lot, that your child would be brilliant. And, of course, I proved that it's not an old wives' tale. It's living truth. But my mother said, son, before you were ever born, every night I knelt beside the bed and said, that's my boy. How'd you know I was going to be a boy? I just knew you were. And I said, dear God, I'll train him if you would call him. I'll train him if you would call him. And I used to sit there and amazed that Mama loved me before I was born. But Jesus loved me before I was born. And Jesus loved me before there was ever a star in the sky, or a mountain, or a valley, or a river, or a lake, or an ocean. I'm just trying to come at the same thing this morning and say, God loves you, and I don't know how much, and I don't know where it all started. But for eternity, we're going to just trace it back and find a little more. And like an explorer, trace it back and find a little more. And trace it back and find a little more. And trace it back and find a little more. And we're going to... In heaven, I want to say, Doctor, hey, Doctor, I got something. I just found out how long. A little bit farther back yonder. And you'll say, is that right? And the next day, he'll come to me and say, hey, preacher, I went back farther than that. And then Brother Lively will say to Brother Colston, Brother Colston, wake up. And he'll say, I just went back 20 billion jillion years, and I found that God loved us then, and we'll explore for eternity why He loved us and learn more, but never learn at all, and explore how long He loved us and learn more, but never at all. I'm saying God loves you. He loves you. He tells us to know His knowledge, which passeth knowledge. Only that. I can never know its beginning. I can never know its cause, but I can also never know how much. How much did He love me? I don't know. He loved me enough to leave heaven, come to earth.
lay aside his robes of splendor to come to wear a borrowed coat. Lay aside heavenly manna to come to be hungry beside the well. Lay aside the river of life to cry, I thirst, on a cross. Lay aside the fellowship with angels to come and be alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lay aside perfect rest to come and put his head on a rock on the Mount of Olives. How much did he love me? I don't know. Enough to come for 33 years and live in this earth and be hated and despised and rejected of men. How much did he love me? I don't know. Enough to be falsely tried and falsely accused. How much did he love me? I don't know. It was enough to go to the Pilate's hall and be beaten beyond human recognition. How much did he love me? I don't know. It was enough to be crucified on the cross. Nails in his hands and feet. No throne but a cross. No crown but a crown of thorns. No royal robe but a borrowed overcoat. No scepter but a walking stick. And no subjects but a jeering mob saying, crucify him! Crucify him! How much did he love me? I don't know. Enough to cry, with thy hands I commend my spirit. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How much did he love me? I don't know. Enough to go to Jacob's borrowed tomb for 3 days and three nights. How much did he love me? I don't know. Enough to sit right now at the right hand of God, and I'll say more about this tonight. Sit right now at the right hand of God pleading my case. I'm a sinner. Imperfect. Unclean! 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 But he loves me. How much? In heaven one day, Brother O'Clair is going to come up and say, Brother Howes, I just weighed the love of God and I found out a little bit more how much he loves us. And I'll say, isn't that great? I'll go back to him the next day and say, hey, Bob, I just found out how much, a little more, how much he loves us. And all of eternity, we'll be exploring why he loves us and just find out why, but not find out totally why. And explore how much he loves us and yet not find out totally how much he loves us. And we'll be exploring when he began loving us and never yet find out. And as long as heaven lasts, we'll never totally comprehend. It'll always have some new shine or new glitter or new hue to it as long as eternity lives. To know that which passeth knowledge, we shall know then, shall never know how much. We shall never know its beginning. We shall never know the cause. But we shall never know its end. How fickle we are. We'll write a little letter and say to somebody, I love you, and then we'll hate them in a few weeks. How fickle we are. We'll tell somebody, I love you with all my heart, and then just in a few months, our love is faded. Of course, it's not love, true love. It's affection, fondness, desire, selfishness. And so when, as I'll say tonight also, when the glitter fades, the love fades, whatever love you, whatever kind of love it is. I want to tell you something this morning. God loved you that night that you were in a nightclub as much as God loves you this morning while you're sitting here in this auditorium. How long will he love you? He never quits. He always will. How long? How long is eternity? I don't know. But we'll explore it forever and ever 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 and never come to its end. What a future I have. May I say this and I'll close. I'm not sure if saying this and closing will be close to each other or not. But may I say this and I'm coming toward the finish. I mean this. I study the love of God. No subject enthralls me like the love of God. No sermon challenges me like the love of God. No truth thrills me like the love of God. And I study it. I often get my Cruden's Concordance. I look up the words love of God or God's love. And read every verse in the Bible about God's love and ask God to give me something fresh and new about His love. And He always does. I study it. I do. but I never exhaust His love. Every time I learn a truth, you don't use it up. God puts two more in His place. And I keep on. And I shall continue to study about the love of God. I remember Brother Olaf, as we'd preach together, and his favorite subject was faith. Every time I hear that song, "Living by Faith in Jesus Alone," I want to take my coat off and say, "Well, Brother Jack." But Brother Lester, oh, how he could mention faith, and how he could preach about faith, and how he could talk about faith. I expect up in heaven now. Every day he's learning more about faith. I'll say this and I'm finished. For some reason or other, God put me on the scene with older preachers. I never got to know preachers my age very well. When I was 29 years of age, I was preaching in conferences all across America with R.G. Lee and Bob Jones Sr. and Ford Porter and John Rice and G.V. Vick and all the big preachers. I never forget, I didn't have a doctor's degree back in those days. And every time they'd advertise, Dr. Bob Jones, Dr. John Rice, Dr. Lester Roloff, Dr. J. Harold Smith, Dr. R.G. Lee, Reverend Jack Hiles. But I was preaching with them. That was my crowd. I never got to know fellows my age because I was with fellows older than I. And I got to know them. I got to know them well. And I got to preach with them. And thank God I got to learn from them. But now then, the liability of that's come. They're all gone now. I remember Dr. Ford Porter standing right behind this pulpit. "Oh, Jesus, I ought to be in hell. Sinner, I ought to be in hell. I love you, Jesus." Dr. Porter's long suit was prayer. Oh, my soul, how that man could pray. Every morning at 4 o'clock he got up and took a hold of the altar of prayer and shook it. And he's been learning about prayer now for these many years. I preached his funeral sermon. He was buried in a suit I bought him. Brother Olaf, I preached his funeral sermon. He's been studying in heaven about faith. And Dr. John Rice is studying in heaven about how to get more subscriptions to the sword of the Lord. And he's found somebody up in heaven that made some mistakes on earth, and he's publishing articles against him up there. He's gone. I get sort of hungry sometime when I'm on the road. To be a preacher, boy, I can. But there's one place I can always go. Still be a preacher, boy. And that's the throne of grace. And learn of His love. This time last year, I could go to my mama's knee and still be a boy. Still be Jack. But I can't do that anymore. But there's a place that I can go. I'll always be Jack and always be a preacher boy. And it won't ever have to be Dr. Hiles. Well, God does call me Dr. Hiles, but won't ever have to be Dr. Hiles. And I can just join the crowd and learn more and more and more and more and never learn at all. And then I shall know more of the unknowable and explore more of the inexplorable and comprehend more of the incomprehensible. But there'll always be something new tomorrow, even 10 million years. God loves you. He loves you very much. I don't know why. I don't know when it started. I don't know its ending. Nor do I know how much. I just know He loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Our Heavenly Father,